Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Will, and welcome to Friday at long last. It has been a heck of a week, hasn't it? Here we are, pretty much two solid weeks of Hurricane Katrina coverage on this program, 4 hours each day, so that should pretty much tell you something. A lot of news, and it still continues to pour in. Big things that I said now are the anticipation of the forced evacuations. Watch for that to start maybe Sunday. Of course, Sunday, the anniversary of September 11th. People will be, there will be more newsworthy items on television, okay? Things like, again, recapping what happened and sort of what's going on as a result of that. Speaking of September 11th, that's Webmaster James's birthday, unfortunately. And poor guy. So, you know, go to the website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Send him an email. Let him know he does a hell of a job, because he does. Wish him a happy birthday. Also on our website, of course, our sponsor, Lee Kroc. His website, edkuniversity.com, and he's our guest today. We'll be giving away a machine later on in the program. That having been said, again, our phone number, 1-800-313-9443. And the guy we'll be chatting with is Clint there at RBN headquarters. Clint, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
I'm surviving. Friday.
It's been a, it's been a long week.
How is it that it's a short week, but it felt really, really long?
That's the truth, man. I went and got a haircut yesterday, and I was just wiped out. I was almost... See, I should probably get haircuts more often. It grows very fast, but I just get so tired. I don't seem to have any free time for anything.
Haircuts are so nice.
They are nice.
I got this guy. It's an old-school barbershop, the Wooten, here.
Oh, yeah?
In Austin, and, you know, they got their little spinning barber pole, and they'll shave you up with a straight razor.
Oh, that's
nice. They wear their white shirts and they're bald. It's pretty cool. It's old school.
I guess. I don't know. I go to a friend of mine here in town, and she does a heck of a job. And I just tell her, hey, look, you know, do whatever you want. So I think I'm going to go with blue hair maybe next week.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Winner.
It's not, huh?
Winner.
Yeah, I'm a strange one. What can I say? You got big plans for the weekend?
No.
That's exciting.
I think I'm going to... I got some friends hang out tonight. Got married couple friends to hang out with tomorrow. And I believe I may go garage selling tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's nice.
It was horrible. Like last weekend on Saturday morning?
Yes.
There was nothing. Holiday weekends, don't go garage selling. Worthless.
Wow. Well, I'll do my best not to waste my time in such fashion. I'm going to go to the gun show. There's a gun show in town, gun and knife show, up in Springdale. At the convention center, which is it's not too far from here. It's maybe about 10 minutes. But I'm looking forward to that. You know what? I've never been to a gun show.
Yeah, I went to
not a big one,
my
anyway.
First one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you were disappointed.
Man, if the book dude was there and the ninja weapon dude was there, we'd have been on. But
do you want me to look for ninja weapons
no
or books?
No ninja weapons. Yeah, if you see a nice pair of Tomfas.
All right. You want wood or metal?
You know, actually, I want the heavy fiberglass ones.
Nah, you should go with wood.
Wood's classic, fiberglass, solid.
Yeah, but wood doesn't vibrate if you're blocking something. Just leave it at that. Well, that's true. You know, you gotta think about the repercussions on your forearm there, buddy. Obviously, no skill in using any of these weapons, just looking at them.
If I was battling a man with a chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't considered the big chainsaw fights. It's been a while for me. Well, yeah, so I'm going to do that, and then I'm working tonight. This is pretty exciting. I'm going to be at the Root Elementary School, which is down here in Fayetteville on Mission Boulevard, and I'm going to be in the dunk tank letting kids throw balls at me.
Wow, whose idea was that? Your wife?
Yeah, well, you know. I like to get involved in things like this. I think that, you know, got to look after the kids, got to look after the communities and the schools and anything like that. If I ever get asked to do something, you know, locally, I usually do it.
Oh, that's great. I just picture the kids. Look, Mommy, the funny-haired blue man fell in the water.
No, it's not blue yet, man, because I knew I'd be in the dunk tank. Just wash out, right?
Yeah.
No, I just, it's funny, sort of brown/gray-headed man.
You're going gray?
I started going gray at 18. That's why I started dyeing it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I guess. Makes me look older.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who wants to look older at 30, right?
Right.
But anyway, yes. So because I do have a lot of enemies in town, it's a great opportunity for them to come down and talk some smack to me. So I'm looking forward to it. I try to restrain myself on the air, but when there's no microphone in front of me, watch out. Of course, there will be small ears listening, so I'll try to keep it over their head to some extent. But anyway, that's my big exciting plans for the weekend. Keep me busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it will.
I don't know how much energy I'm going to have tonight. It's been a long week, but hopefully it will be a fun experience. But anywho, well, very good, very good. So that having been said, you ready for today?
I'm ready.
All right, man, let's do it.
Callers already.
Okay, well, let's do it. Open line, what?
So we're happening.
Okay. You done? Can I talk now?
Okay.
Go away. 1-800-313-9443, folks. Welcome to Friday's show. Let's get it started with our good friend Al in Colorado. Al, welcome to the show. And first things first, what time do you get up every day?
About 10 minutes to 5, so I can get my so I can get the machine turned on usually to listen.
Hey, nice, man. I appreciate that.
I talked last night. Hopefully, Drew is up already. He's just came back again the second time from Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
He's got some interesting stuff to tell you. But I talked to Rodney last night in Texas.
Hey, I haven't heard from Rodney in a while.
Yeah, well, he tells me that you speak so darn long in the morning. In the first hour, he gets tired of waiting.
I speak so long?
Yeah, that's what he said to me yesterday, anyway.
Oh, God forbid I talk on my own show.
But he told me, and this was on Alex Jones's site because I checked it out, it looks like we have 2,500 Mexican soldiers up in Austin, Texas, fully armed with machine guns, coming in to help the evacuees. And I said, wait a minute, what is the Mexican army doing up in Austin, Texas? He says, that's a good question. So you might want to go to Jones's website and take a look at that article.
I think I could probably find something better to do. I'm sure I can. If it's legitimate, it'll be other places.
Well, I haven't heard it. That's the only place I've seen it so far, but it's really interesting. Now, Drew also told me that under the Louisiana dirt, there's a tremendous amount of oil. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's where the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is located.
Well, there's in some caves.
Texas,
but I'm not talking about I'm talking about in the ground now. I'm not talking about the SPR.
Oh, yeah.
So isn't that interesting that maybe they might just want to get all those people out of there for, get the black stuff out of the ground?
Yeah, it's distinctly possible. I mean, you look at it, for its historic significance, I don't think they could find a way to convince the public to go ahead and start
drilling.
Yeah, hey, mind if we knock down these 200-plus-year-old buildings so we can drill?
Anything is
possible
now, isn't it?
That's the truth.
Anything is possible now. Those people are displaced, and most of those people are not going to be coming back, unfortunately.
I agree with you there.
Now, the rich white people, or the so-called rich white people, have not left yet, is my understanding. The wealthier areas.
That's true. There's a pretty powerful story. I think it's at therawstory.com. I think that's what the website is. I'll check it out. Maybe rawstory.com. But it is taken from a Wall Street Journal article, which is a subscription.
Oh yeah, I did see
story.
That.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
Yep.
Well, it's like Orwell said, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Very true.
What do you think about Sunday, Frank? You think there might be a little brouhaha on the anniversary, or do you think it's a good time? Yeah, it's a good time for our so-called quote terrorists end quote to pull some shenanigans, or what do you think is going to happen?
It's hard to say. I mean, honestly, if you take, you all right?
Pardon me?
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. Sound like you're in pain there.
No.
It looks like oil prices going up again. They're going up on reports, quote unquote, from yesterday, the heating oil is going to be over the top this year. So, of course, oil prices have to go up. Now, I don't know about where you are, but where I am, the prices at the actual stations themselves have not gone down at all.
I haven't seen anything going down.
No.
I saw one price that was below $3, and that was $2.96, but that was one station out of many in the whole city.
Well, after Katrina hit, it went up to $70. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, since then, it's been down around $64.
that where we stand as of right now? Roughly?
No, it went back. It's going back up now. But I mean, not
total manipulation. Then this is garbage.
Without a doubt, I've got
total manipulation.
I've got a story here with actual quotes from oil corporation memos detailing that they need events to occur to increase demand and to cut down on refining capacity, so that way they can keep the price elevated. From their own mouths.
Yes, yeah, I saw that about the memo. I think I may have been the one that sent that to you, too.
Oh, okay.
Possible. I did see that. Yeah, the refinery people are, they're all playing a game. One of the things that I watch religiously every day is the price of gold and silver.
Yeah.
And those two commodities, Frank, are all over the place. They might as well put them on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Gold and silver, because one day it's, you know, it got up as high as close to 450 again, then it was down to 434. And
yeah. Copper's gone up, too.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah. But again, I mean, you have to have tons of copper to make some money off that. But
I
yes.
hear the music.
Yes, you do. Hang on, folks. Quick break. We'll be right back with more of our Open Line Friday shenanigans. Some news, of course, too. Just some of this is too important to sit on. So stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio when we return.
Pacific area.
Morning, welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today, as always. And website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Phone number, 1-800-313-9443. Back to Allen, Colorado. Al, go ahead.
Yes. Fort Polk is, I believe, roughly 100 miles north northwest of New Orleans. And for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, maybe almost 10 years, there have been a tremendous amount of foreign troops stationed there, or bivouacked there. And I have a feeling, Frank, that these foreign troops are going to get a little workout now, possibly.
Well, I think it was day 3, or day 2, and I guess it was day 2, so probably about Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. Right after the hurricane hit, we had mainstream media reporting that Canada had troops on the ground. So, I mean, it's not surprising. It's nothing new. It's just basically, here's what the interesting thing that I've noticed as of late, and you probably have too, Al, is that everything that has been speculated upon is occurring now. And that's all that needs to be said for the most part. You know, I think that, you know, everything that's going to be coming out should not be shocking to any of us who have known what we know. I mean, would you agree with that?
I'm surprised that what's happening now didn't happen. I'm not talking about the hurricanes or stuff, but what's happening politically, et cetera, hasn't happened long ago, okay?
What do you mean, like, specifically?
Oh, okay. The, you know, with the martial law possibly being implemented, you know, the fact that there's been foreign troops on this soil for so long, most people don't even, most of the country isn't, I don't even know if they're aware of it or not. Those people are not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, I think most of them don't care at this point. I mean, they look at they look at situations like the Iraq War, the first one and the one that's currently going on, and the huge push on the part of the Democrats to discredit Bush has been this is not a coalition of the willing, and you need to have a coalition. You cannot unilaterally go in and invade another country, even if it's to save a country, as perhaps was the case with Kuwait. You could make a case.
The world's cops, though, Frank.
Well, I know. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. So what I'm saying, though, is that there's always been this push in the last 15 years to do this multi-nation thing. And then, of course, you've got the UN, League of Nations, all before that. You know, we have bases in other countries. You know, Germany, we've got significant forces in a lot of other countries. So I think people, for the most part, the clueless majority, they don't think there's anything wrong with having foreign troops on our soil.
This is what's wrong. First of all, one of the things that was told that I heard... And after World War II, there was Germany and Japan are basically, what did they say? They were colonies of us because they're basically, although the surrender was signed, something to do with treaties or something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in a manner of speaking, Germany and Japan are technically colonies of the U.S. because they're both defeated entities. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was the reason we have bases over there.
And that doesn't surprise me at all. But what I'm saying is that just, you know, look at how much time has gone on. We're talking about 60 years.
60 years, yeah. We have no business having any of...
No, I know. But what I'm saying is over time, 60 years of something that maybe was shocking at first has become norm. It's just like we said, if they make a big push for, you know, like a microchipping program for kids so they don't get kidnapped, for people so they don't get, you know, mixed up in situations like Katrina and the aftermath of that with the dead and the living, with animals and all that stuff, it becomes normal. And then those kids grow up saying, hey, you know what? I got chipped when I was a kid. It's always been here because we have very short-term memory as a people for the most part.
Absolutely.
So in that regard, it becomes established. So that's why when we talk about the New World Order agenda, you have to look at it in the glacial terms by which it advances for the most part.
Yes, it does. But it seems like they're trying to ramp it up much quicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I know that certain people, most of the listeners to your show are not going to take the chip. They're not going to take it.
Hell no. You know what? Not only would I not take the chip, if I had a parakeet, if I had a pet frog, if I had a ladybug I was partial to, I wouldn't be evacuating. Couldn't force me to go without my pets. I'm telling you, you want to talk about armed standoff, you'd have it.
I think there's a good possibility with this, what do you call, the bird flu, the duck flu, whatever the heck they're calling it over there.
Uh-huh.
It's a possibility they're going to unleash it and say, guess what, it's time for you to get the shot, or maybe, guess what, Mr. Frank, no food for you. No shot, no food.
That's cool.
You
I'll
want
be
your
right.
food? No gun, you know. You want your food? No, give us your gun.
You know what I'll do? I'll go and find me some ducks that are infected with the bird flu, and then I'll kill them and eat them, and then I'll drink some carrot juice, and I'll be fine. Screw those guys.
Yes, well, I'm looking forward to hearing both Drew and Rodney if they're listening. Keep up the good work, and God bless, sir.
All right, brother. Take care. Again, folks, our number 1-800-313-9443. Use that at any point today. We got a good hour and a half before Lee Kroc joins us. We'll be talking about the energy cleaner, giving away another one of these babies. And, you know, days when Lee's on, they're good for me and they're bad for me. They're good for me because I know that somebody out there gets helped, and they're bad because I know that not everyone can be helped. And it weighs on me. So we're trying to keep it relatively light today. We'll laugh, we'll have a good time, and we'll look forward to the weekend and lots of good rest. And we'll be ready for battle again Monday morning. But stay with us, folks. Quick break. We'll take more phone calls when we return.
Or go to Idaho-America.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today, as always. Website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Phone number, 1-800-313-9443. And continuing on with phone calls, again, that number, 1-800-313-9443. We had to leave a lot of people hanging the last couple days. I hate doing that. Rhonda in Nova Scotia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Frank. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, too.
Good.
I just wanted to make a quick comment and ask a question.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to say is that your show, I really enjoy it.
Oh,
you've been great.
Thank you.
In many areas, as you are well aware of. But I don't know if you're aware of this aspect. I'm sure you probably are. Many times, people, I know myself, you watch the mainstream news, you hear it, you see it, but you don't really get emotionally feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of close your feelings off to it. You know, that's happening over in Iraq, that's happening there, that's happening, you know, different parts of the world. But your show brings people back to start to feel their emotions. When you're listening to your show, then you watch the pictures on the television, you really start to feel, because they're not pictures anymore. You really connect with them.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we were just talking about that. I don't know if it was this week or last week. It's just been it's been a whirlwind. It's been long, and it's been difficult. But it's also been it's been great for me, because I get to talk to a lot of people off the air as well. And what's nice about that is that the way I've discovered, and this maybe this is just how it works for me, but maybe it works for you the same way. But I find that a lot of my insight, you know, and opinions come from having discussions with people, just talking, and they say, what do you think about this? And then I'll say, well, what do you think about that? And they'll say, well, did you hear this story? And I said, yeah, but did you hear this one? And they'll say, well, this seems to connect to this. And I'll say, yeah, but this and this and this too. And, you know, it's by having those open discourses, I think we were able to come up with that stuff. And one of the things that I'd sort of been talking to, you know, my wife, she gets real emotional, you know, about things, and she watches... She watches the news, and, you know, after a couple days, you know, she knows all the stuff, you know, but seeing it and hearing it all the time, it really starts to get to her sometimes, and she'll just, you know, start to cry. And,
yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, and I was talking to her about it, and I said, look, this is how we're supposed to be. You know, human beings are supposed to be emotional. When we pray, that's when we're at our most honest. That's when the prayers are most heartfelt. See, I was raised Catholic, so... I tend to, on occasion, slip into routines of this, you know, same prayers, praying, you know, the same way all the time. And that's just habit, because usually it's like, okay, for your penance, say 85 Hail Marys and 200 Our Fathers.
And
it just gets, yeah, it just gets, just like, yeah, just like, okay, so just like the rosary, it's just, it gets to be routine and it doesn't have any meaning.
It has no meaning.
Right. So, you know, I think that when we're really, really happy about something and we're saying a prayer of thanks, or we're really, really worried or sad or even angry about something, we're saying prayers, that's when it's more honest. And I think what you've got here, it's kind of like you kind of have to learn how to exist in that state of being. I'll give you maybe an inappropriate example would be when people drink. Okay, the first time somebody gets drunk, they don't understand what they're feeling. They don't know how to react to it. They're like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, I'm all dizzy and stuff. You know, there's an uncertainty there because there's an unfamiliarity. And I think that when you have something like this hurricane or September 11th or anything that really moves you as an individual or, you know, the general populace as a whole, what it does is it strips away the crust that's built up over our eyes and our hearts and stuff for so long, because we are numbed to things. Because things, when they happen on that little shiny pretty box in the house, they're not real, which is why video games are getting more and more realistic, and they're using the video games to train the troops. You know, before they go out, they have all these great simulators, and it's like, oh, we're going to play these games, and it's great because you're blowing away these little innocent people, and yeah, there's no emotion to it. It's all part of the desensitizing process, and I think that we get in this situation where you don't have to even leave the house anymore. You can sit in your house with a credit card and a phone line, and you don't need to go anywhere. Pay all your bills online. You can talk to people in chat rooms instead of in person. You can have groceries delivered. You really don't need to ever leave. And you maybe you work online. Maybe you work on the computer, so you don't need to even do that. So, you know, we're at an amazing point in human history where you can basically... You can exist completely outside of human interaction if you chose to do so. Now, the problem with that is, again, it builds up this sort of layer of fat, if you will, that has to be exercised off. You know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe you got some extra weight on you, and then all of a sudden you get the flu for a month, and you drop all this weight. It's rather extreme. It's rather immediate, but at the same time, you know, maybe you're better for it. And I think that it's one of those things right now when you have something like this happen, it just cuts you. And a lot of people, they get really mad or really sad, or really depressed, or whatever the case may be. And that's because we're not familiar with being in that mindset. We're not familiar with being raw. And I think raw is real, and that's the place we have to be. Now, I don't think that anyone has to be in one emotional state all the time. I mean, I could sit here and just yell at you guys 24 hours a day, but I don't thrive on controversy. I don't thrive on that combative nature of information, or that combative nature of interaction. I don't like it. I think that's part of the problem. You know, that's why people watch Jerry Springer, because they need to have something stirred in them, and that's sort of like the quick fix. It's like, let me go and watch a bunch of people whose situation is so pathetic that I take a sick sense of pleasure out of watching their problems. Let me watch some people throw chairs at each other, because I thrive on conflict. There are other ways to get your emotional fix. Okay, there are other emotions out there that are better for you. And I think that it's important to sort of stay in that emotional state. But again, stay in it enough where you're familiar with it. You can navigate it coherently and still sort of exist in the world as it stands today with a bunch of numb, dumbed-down people. I mean, the news, like you said, it is what it is. There's always the shock value story. But it's only shocking for 10 seconds, and they move on to something else. Okay. And they throw the fluff pieces in, especially on the local broadcasts. You've got medication, which, again, it doesn't stop pain. It numbs your pain receptors. It's all about numbing us. It's about just turning us into little zombies. And the situations like this, I think, there are good things that can come out of it. You see a lot of the mainstream news broadcasters, the big names on these cable news networks, are coming out and saying some incredibly honest things.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is wonderful to see this. But look at what it took.
Yeah.
Look at what kind of tragedy it took to shake these people awake. A cold bucket of ice water filled with death, destruction, mayhem, ineptness, and just unbelievable turmoil. In the whole picture. But that's what it took to wake these news people up. Because, I mean, think about it. If you're, I have never been a news broadcaster on television. I don't have any interest in being on television. I've been interviewed many times on TV, but that's a separate thing entirely. But for the people who do that, I mean, I know them. You know, we got some of them that work here and whatnot. And there's just so much that goes into it. There's the prep time. You have to toe the company line, because these are big corporations for the most part. You got to have makeup people, hair people. Your clothes have to look good. You got to make sure everything's all. I mean, the people who are reporting the news are not even immersed in the news. They are presenting it to you. It's written by other people sometimes. I mean, this is just, it's delivered to us by people who are numb from it, by people who are distanced from it. And as a result of that, it does come through, and it just facilitates some of the problem. But look at, I mean, all of a sudden, you got Shepard Smith from Fox News. He doesn't care about what his hair looks like. He's pissed off because he's being lied to, and he's seeing the evidence in front of his own eyes. And God bless him for that, and all the other people. Anderson Cooper, really. To see, but, I mean, again, at what cost, and how long can this last? I look at it this way. September 11th happened. I'm sorry, I'm totally just, you know.
No.
Okay. Just tell me to shut up if you need to. After September 11th, you saw a lot of the late-night talk shows, okay, David Letterman, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, things like that, Jon Stewart, they were speechless. They couldn't do comedy. And guess what?
Yeah.
There's been no cease and desist on comedy after Katrina. Katrina is much worse than September 11th was, in every possible way, but it doesn't have the same impact. It is with some people, but what I'm saying is that the mainstream hasn't necessarily tweaked everything per se. Now, there's another benefit concert happening tonight, I think on, ABC, CBS, something like that. I think it's CBS. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Because, again, you know, life must go on without a doubt. And I think after September 11th, we just didn't know what to do. You know, we didn't know how to act. We didn't know how to respond. And as a talk show host myself, I was kind of the same way. Because that really changed how I did my show. And one of the things that I did was just start doing this, just talking, finding out what people, where are people at, what are they thinking, how do they feel about anything,
You do a mighty fine job.
Well,
you really
I appreciate
do.
That. I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
No, but you do. You have a gift. You have a true gift. You've been blessed.
I'm embarrassed is what I am, but thank you.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Oh,
you definitely
sweet.
Have it. But anyways, I just want to ask to say one, two other little things.
Oh, yeah.
The price of gas in Nova Scotia, mm-hmm. We go by liters here. Mm-hmm. We used to be by gallons many years ago, but it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks ago it was $1.19 up to $1.29. And 2-3 days ago I bought gas. It was $1.39 for 1 liter.
It's amazing. It just keeps going up.
It is. And I was wondering, I have to run, but I was wondering if you would do me a favor and ask Lee Kroc if his machine works on soft tissue injuries. I've searched his site, and I can't find any information on that question.
Okay.
And I'd really appreciate it. I'll have to listen to it later.
I will happily ask him that.
Okay. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Rhonda, thank you, as always. You're just a wonderful... a wonderful light for us here, so thank you.
Oh, so are you. You don't know how much light you shine on this old world.
Well, thank you.
You do. Anyways,
I
have to run. Oh, I'm going to catch it.
Okay.
All right. You take care.
You too.
Thanks
so much
for everything.
All right. You too. Have a great weekend. Yeah, I'll take compliments very well. I don't think I ever have. It's just one of those things. I don't want to... it's sort of a double-edged sword. It's good to hear, and I love it, and I need it. Trust me, there are days when I don't want to come to work. There's a lot of days where I don't want to come to work. But when you're in this, I don't screen the calls because I want you guys to be honest with me, and I want to be able to be honest with you. And you know, hey, there are going to be people who call up and you know, just get in a huge personal issue with me, and that's fine. I mean, we can do that, but. You know, I think that it's important to say, you know, fair is fair. And, you know, you got to kind of put up a little bit of a thick skin to a point to deal with the criticism. And it's like anything. I mean, you're on the radio 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and people think they know you. And it's just like anything else. Think about, did you see what happened to Cheney down there in, I think it was Louisiana. Anyway, great, great story. You read it, the Washington Post is completely uncensored. Fantastic. So Cheney's up there talking about what a great response it's been, and all the different people who have come up to him and said, oh, I'm really happy, Mr. Cheney, everything's great. And then off camera, someone says, you know, I should just say it. I mean, if they can print it in the Washington Post, I should be able to say it on the radio. But the FCC has me on under scrutiny as... Oh, we're all on lists, and it's just one of many that I'm on, I'm sure. But anyway, somebody said off camera, you know, not right into the microphone, it was like, go Frank yourself, Mr. Cheney. I said Frank as substitution for what he actually said, which was a four-letter word that starts with F and ends with K. And you can use your own imaginations there. But, and Cheney's like, oh, you know, kind of stopped for a second. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And he's like, I've never heard that before. Yes, that's right, Mr. Cheney. You've never heard that before because you have completely and totally isolated yourself from ever dealing with criticism. Now, that guy who said that, yeah, he's face down in the floodwaters right now somewhere, I'm sure. But you know, hey, that's fantastic that he's doing that. But the point is, people look at Dick Cheney and they know him, right? I mean, think about it. Any of us, if they saw Dick Cheney and Dick Cheney's like, hey, come on up and talk to me, you would walk right up to him and be like, you son of a bitch. And you'd just start going off on all the problems you have with Dick Cheney. But do you know him? No. You know what you see of him. And it's kind of like the same thing with me. When I go out and I'm doing a station event here and people show up, there are people who, you know, who like the show and the people who hate, I shouldn't say they hate the show, they just hate me. For some reason, I don't know. Maybe I say something. Maybe they think there's an ego issue or something like that. I don't really think there is, but perhaps they see it that way. And they come up like, I mean, like you went to their house and you burned it down.
You
Good morning. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome to Friday. Always an exciting day here at Frankly Speaking Radio on our Friday morning program. And it is fast moving, amazing how, I guess Rodney was right. I guess I do talk too much. Yeah, almost the first hour gone already. That's okay, though. We have fun. Let's keep going with the calls. Sheldon in Arizona, welcome to the program.
Hey, Frank, I want to talk about truck drivers and fuel prices.
Please do.
My dad's a truck driver up in Wisconsin, and I am also. I drive for the Postal Service. He told me a few days ago that he heard from his boss up in Slinger, Wisconsin, that it is true they're rationing 50 gallons to truck drivers at truck stops. And then I also heard on the Raleigh mainstream radio talk show host, Raleigh James, she got 50 calls from truck drivers herself, and they had said the same thing to her.
Wow. So it's true then.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I was listening to a re-air of The Sting of Staying with Alan Stang last night on your network.
Uh-huh.
I get a kick out of him. He always plays Rocky music during his for his bumper music.
That's because he's an athlete in the prime of his life.
Oh, is he?
I don't know. I've never seen him.
Well, anyway, he had gotten an email from a member of the Teamsters Union, and this man had talked to other major independent truckers and other Teamster people with the Teamsters that are truckers, and they're going on a nationwide trucker strike between September 8th and September 12th.
Well, I've heard that too, and obviously that means it's already begun, or it has. I don't know. I think it's very intriguing. I've gotten a lot of reports from people in the industry, and they've said a lot of the same things, that they just can't afford to do it. There's reports of trucks just being, you know, the trailers being disconnected and left, and, you know, just called up and said, hey, your stuff's over here on this such and such highway at this mile marker. I just can't afford to work for you anymore. Sorry. We had the big truck convoy of protests down there in Florida. These things are happening, but from what I hear, this protest, the strike might consist of actually blocking off roads. That's what I hear. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that there was some talk of just saying, you know what, let's just park our semis across the highway and leave them.
Wow, yeah, even if it's a small thing at first, it's going to spread to the rest of the country. I'm expecting the worst in this. I'm starting to stock up in supplies and get ready myself to get out of Tucson down here in case things really get bad.
I think that's always a good idea. You can never really be over-prepared with things. And, yeah, I mean, who knows where one could go. I mean, you know, I love it here in Arkansas. But I tell you what, this is a state that has a lot of trucking, a lot of it. I mean, pretty much I-40. And Drew can confirm this. It's all, you know, Walmart, J.B. Hunt, and Tyson, all sorts of things. So, you know, it's everywhere, and people don't realize. I mean, the shipping costs just went up. We talked about that last Friday for the transportation. So the cost of the goods and the retail outlets is going up, probably already has, in order for the consumers to absorb some of the difference. These things are happening, folks. They're happening right off the bat. And as we said, it's interesting that they're talking about fuel costs, heating oil, excuse me, costs going up for the forthcoming winter, and then now the gas prices are going back up. Now, again, they never went down at the station, so I'm talking about oil prices, I guess would be the technical term for it. So oil prices are going back up, which means that, hey, the gas stations would say, well, we're offering it for $3.10 when it was $64 a gallon. Now it's $65, so surely we should raise our prices. We are going to continue to take a hit, hurricanes notwithstanding. Sheldon, hang on, buddy. Quick break, folks. We'll be back in about a minute and a half. Good morning. Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of our Friday edition, Frankly Speaking Radio, broadcast planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, glad to have you with us here today. As always, it is Friday, September 9th, 2005, 7 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. And obviously, basic math skills will tell you that September 11th anniversary, 4 years, is coming up on Sunday. So who knows? Al was sort of talking about that. Do I think something's going to happen? I don't know. It's hard to say. Gas prices are on the rise for no apparent reason. It does make you wonder. If folks, if you got any skills in the stock market, you may want to start paying attention to some things. Do a little predictions there for us. It's hard to say. But, you know, they can't blame it on Hurricane Ophelia that's moved towards the coast and then moved back out. It was barely a Category 1. Now it's just a tropical storm. But let me tell you something. A lot of stories coming out about the hurricane season, and this might be the first time ever that they've ran out of names. I gotta basically go back through the list, but they'll switch to the Greek alphabet. Strange, huh? Anyway, we've got all these stories, but we're taking calls. It's an open line Friday, and your opportunity to take us anywhere you want to go. Like I said, we have devoted pretty much the last 10 working days, to Hurricane Katrina. And you may not want to talk about that. You may want to talk about other things, in which you are always welcome to do so. 1-800-313-9443. Our guest today, Lee Kroc, will be joining us in about an hour. So we'll be doing another giveaway, and great opportunities for you to pick his brain about the machine. And, you know, not just what it can do in healing properties, but, you know, also maybe enhancing some alternative energy concepts, and also, of course, weather modification. It's been shown to be successful with that as well, strangely enough. Anywho, all these things very relevant. Go to our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. As I said earlier, Webmaster James's birthday is on September 11th, so send him an email and wish him a happy birthday. He works very hard for us, and we love him to death. And our sponsor is Lee Kroc on the website. Click on his link, read the material, send it to other people, and give him a call. His phone numbers are posted there, too. That having been said, back to the phones. Sheldon in Arizona, please continue.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the increase in gas prices there. Well, my friends up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, last winter, they complaining how bad their gas prices for the winter are, like $200, $250. I can just imagine what it's going to be like this winter.
God, yeah. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, we saw the blackout, and we talked about that a little bit yesterday, the blackout in 2003 in the Northeast U.S. and parts of Canada.
Practice exercise.
Oh, without a doubt, it was an e-bomb. It was absolutely an electromagnetic pulse weapon.
They're housing these people in the sports stadiums. This is a practice exercise to get people's reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, what everyone's calling for is more government involvement, bigger agencies, more funding, more oversight, which is more committees, more investigative bodies, and of course, what that means is more money for us. But I was talking Joe McNeil, Chairman of the National Association of Microbroadcasters. He does a program on a different network, and he invited me to be on his show yesterday. And Joe, I don't know if you know him, but he is he was in the trucking business for like 20 years. Guy knows the business, and we were talking about all these different things. And he said there are some email stories going around about a thing called Operation Ophelia, which is to directly manipulate this hurricane to hit the Northeast U.S. so that way they would have their own sort of hurricane aftermath up there, and then, of course, what you'd have to do then is sort of section the United States into different zones, and these zones would be controlled by NORTHCOM, and so on and so forth.
The original thing they had planned was FEMA setting up 10 regions across the country.
Sure, like Rex 84 and whatnot. But the thing about it is like I was telling him, I said, I don't know anything about that. I haven't heard anything, and aside from what he had said, but I think, Sheldon, I'm sorry I babbled so much, but let me get you to hang on. But I think what we're going to see here, folks, is probably, like we've had a record hot summer, I think we're going to see a record cold winter. And I think we're going to see on the news, the same way we're seeing bodies covered in body bags and plastic bags and blankets being pulled out of various facilities in New Orleans, so too I think we'll see frozen bodies being pulled out of places up north. Stay with us, my friends. We'll be right back.
Did you read the news today?
that song. Well done, Clint. Well done. Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today, as always. Friday morning, and about 10 minutes after 7 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. On the phone with us, Sheldon in Arizona. Sheldon, please continue, my friend.
Well, thank you for giving me so much airtime.
Of course. Well, you know, I keep interrupting you, and we have commercials, so please go ahead.
Well, you're talking about the pulling dead bodies out of the north. I think this weather, this Katrina thing was definitely a weather control operation. I think they're going to start putting their weather control technology in the full force in effect now. You know, these powers to be, they wanted their New World Order by the year 2000, and they really didn't have it by then, so I think it's going to get a lot worse from here on out.
I'm inclined to agree, and of course, obviously, this affects quite a few things. I mean, if people can't afford heating oil and gasoline, can't be, you know, people can't afford that. Well, then how are you going to get to work in some of these crappy weather conditions when there's no trucks and whatnot out on the streets? You know, clearing out roads and highways and salting various things, and who knows? I mean, I think it's just going to be devastating, and you know, I think a good purchase for everybody, no matter where you might live, is maybe some snow chains. I don't know. I after last year's experience in Arkansas with, I think, the worst ice storm they've had in the last 120-something years, I'm going to get me some snow chains this year.
My friends up in Wisconsin, you know, they've been watching this tornado season up there. They've never seen tornadoes like they've been seeing this summer up there. It's unbelievable.
Really? I don't recall hearing a lot of tornadoes coming out of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's rated the number one tornado capital in the country now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did not know that.
You know, I've been listening to a lot of you talk show hosts since 96, including John Statmiller when he used to do his show with Mark Kornke, and I used to listen to Bill Cooper all the time, and I've known this stuff's been coming down since about 1995. I wish I would have gotten ready quicker.
Well, the good thing, my friend, is that you know, you're ready when you're supposed to be, and the point is that
unfortunately, a lot of people won't be ready when it really gets bad. I don't think they will be.
Well, I agree. But I mean, if you look at the way the circumstances have worked out for your story, for example, what you've got is that you've heard the information for a long time, and it sets in when it needed to. You know, you still got some time, so that's a good thing, and you're going to make some preparations now. That's wonderful. But you're right. There's a lot of people out there who have never heard these things, and these people will just be it sucks. They'll be a drain on society, honestly. They'll be a drain on us. These are the people who have spent their money on ridiculous things, and when they don't have any, they're going to come banging on your door and my door because they don't have something.
Well, they come to my door looking for Super Bowl tickets. I'm going to tell them to get lost.
Well said.
Thanks a lot for it.
Sheldon, thank you, my friend. I appreciate the call. Let's continue with our good friend Drew in Arkansas. Drew, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. For the fastest 4 hours in talk radio.
Goes fast.
Went down there yesterday, took a couple of generators in a modified airplane that normally hauls fish to fisheries around the United States. These little fingerling things.
Good smelling ride, I'm sure.
Anyway, it was it was an enlightening experience. I actually have a 6'5" police officer offer me $5 for my icy coke that we had picked up, and I ended up giving him our cooler with all the little snacks and food that we were using to fly down because it's the turnaround's about 6 hours.
Now, this is local police, state police. I mean,
this is local police?
Okay,
and they have total hate and disdain for anybody wearing a FEMA cap. It's like us against them, and it's the people against somebody, somewhere, whether they're legal FEMA agents or they're rogue FEMA agents, it's not known. But I've had tears come out of my eyes because there's people all over America that are trying to help, that want to help. And they're being turned down. They're being told not to come. Or they're told, like in Chicago, a food factory up there was willing to send 20 truckloads at their own expense. And FEMA says, we'll let you send one. We're getting word now that emergency medical service personnel had a conference, a convention in New Orleans, and these were emergency medical personnel from all over the United States in a conference, and a number of them were left there because they couldn't get out. They had no way to get out. There weren't any planes to get out on. And they stayed in hotels, and then the hotels were locked down by agents of the government, and they were told to go out and fend for themselves, and that they weren't allowed to go into the dome. They weren't allowed to go into the convention center. And these are stories that aren't being told. The police that I talked to yesterday, man to man, looked me straight in the eye and says, "What in the hell is going on?"
Yes.
They don't have radio communication outside their own territorial area. Jerry and I had to fly into two airports. The first airport, we were accosted with at least 20 cars that had government tags on them, telling us that we weren't allowed there. This was an airfield that has that's not a manned airfield where you can land on, because it's just got a beacon there. And it doesn't require somebody in a tower to give you permission to land. You land because there's hardly anything there. Yet here's these 20 cars that follow us around. And when we took off, Jerry looked at me and he says, "Hey, dude, I'm not flying to take off back to where those guys. We're going to take off at the end of this runway. We're going to have a distance of a runway that's shortened to one half what I need. So be prepared to shove those generators out if we have to, because our lives are more important." We got off the ground and we went to another location. I had to make a phone call via a ham operator to the emergency 911 operator to tell the police officers where they could come get their generators. And when they showed up 8 men strong in a pickup truck, a big dually. And the biggest guy of the bunch, or the one that was in charge, was the biggest guy of the bunch, 6'5", and tears in his eyes when I handed him an icy Coke. And I told him, I said, "Keep your $5. I can get another Coke later." And he got tears in his eyes because he was just thankful to get a cold Coke.
Man.
And they don't have any news. And he tells me, he says, "I got a personal friend over in New Orleans, and they're telling me that they're being forced to leave. Is that true?" And I looked at him and I says, "I've heard it. I haven't seen it." And he tells me, he says, I have a first cousin. This is my mother's sister's daughter who lives over there, and she's a survivalist."
Yeah.
And she's got water out the gazoo, food out the gazoo. He said that if anybody can survive, and they're not going to get her out of her house.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, I've been watching all this, and you're right. They're calling these people, these survivalists, they're calling them crazy. These are people that are, this is their words, disconnected from reality. They're in shell shock. They don't understand what has gone on.
SPF.
I know. I saw a video today, Drew, of an elderly woman. I swear she's probably 70-something years old. I saw police officers go in there and knock her down, just tackle her up against the wall for her own good, quote-unquote. This is the kind of thing. People are going to be deemed mentally unstable, because surely no one in their right mind would choose to live in a situation like that, even though they may be in a place where they've made preparations. They may be in a situation where they've got plenty of property. Their house didn't get touched by wind or water. They have all the necessities of life. They have generators and whatnot. It doesn't matter. They have to get them out of there. And the people on the ground, God bless them, they know what's going on. They're saying, "Look, they're trying to get us out of here, so they can do their reconstruction."
Why do they? Even over in the Garden District, that hasn't even been touched by water or flood or anything at any one time. No high water. No, the yards are well groomed, well kept. There are people over there that are not leaving, and they're not threatening anybody. They're saying, "Look, people, I'm self-sufficient. I am here. This is my home. I'm going to lock that front door. You better not kick it in, because under the law of this state, I have a right to protect it even against the government agents. This is Louisiana law. This is Louisiana law." And the guy that said it was a lawyer. Now, here's a lawyer who's not going to leave his home because of some mayor saying you've got to go because it's dangerous, and yet he's a survivalist. There are people that are down on Bourbon Street that have bars, that have generators, and they've got cold water, they got cold drinks, they've got their own alcoholic beverages, which I, you know, deplore. But the bottom line, it's their life, and they have no place to go. They don't. When they're saying, "Why should I go? I can. I'm here. I don't have to be dependent on Drew Raines in Little Rock, or Drew Raines in Shreveport, or Al over in Colorado, or Frank in Fayetteville." These people don't want to leave. They don't have to be dependent.
I know, but...
Can you hold me over? I'd like to make another comment.
Of course. Of course, of course. Stay with us, folks. We'll come right back, and we'll talk some more. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us. It's a fine Friday morning. And, of course, a big thing still continuing to develop. As I said, I got a lot of news. We'll probably be getting into it here, but I always like to give this guy as much time as he wants. Drew from Little Rock, welcome.
The next thing I've got to say is people wake up. We've got, what is this BS about Mexican troops coming in into Austin, Texas? And this general that's in charge says, "I need my troops," quote, "I need my troops to protect my doctors." In America, we need, I love the fact that Mexico's sending their doctors and their supplies. I don't want their troops. I want their doctors. I want their nurses. I want their medical supplies. This is the United States of America. This is not Iraq, where doctors and nurses are raped and killed and pillaged. This isn't Paraguay, where the rebels run loose. This is the United States of America. 99% of the American people believe in a rule of law. We've got a problem when newscasters are getting on the idiot box smiling. And when they do their interview of troops being allowed to come into Austin and San Antonio from Laredo, bringing their doctors, but they need their armed troops to protect their doctors. Yet I see 8,000 to 10,000 people sitting outside the Astrodome very calmly waiting in line for some ATM card or some kind of debit card for $2,000, and the rumor is that if they take this stupid card, they have to give up other medical aid for our assistance. And I heard that specifically at 5 o'clock this morning on CNN Headline News. Now, what's the truth out there? Oprah Winfrey was almost denied to go into the Superdome, but she kind of pushed her way in, and she got some live footage. Oprah Winfrey's got some truth out there on her TV show, which yesterday happened to be the most watched TV show in the history of the United States, to get the truth out all over the United States. Now, people, we got a problem in New Orleans. It is not the people of New Orleans. It is the so-called, "We're the government, we're here to help you." Bullshit. When they want to evacuate New Orleans, there are 36 other little towns all around it. Why aren't they evacuating those towns? They're right there where all the mosquitoes are at.
Well said.
And they got this 36-inch pipeline pulling flood water out of New Orleans. Ladies and gentlemen, that's like taking a water hose and trying to siphon out the gasoline out of a tanker. This is ridiculous. Germany wants to send special hydraulic pumps. They've been waiting. Since when? Since Tuesday, 10 days ago. Special hydraulic pumps. Not one, but 20. Enough to pull 20 times more water than what they're using with this one little 36-inch pipe. BS. We've got areas in New Orleans that are high and dry. We've got police officers in Bogalusa, in Slidell, in Gulfport, who are talking about, "Hey, the people are out there cleaning up." Well, why aren't we cleaning up New Orleans instead of evacuating it? People that are hunkered down. The one woman that I heard this morning said, "It's just like camping out, only we didn't go out into the woods. We're camping out in our home."
I've got enough water, food, supplies to last me for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I've been preparing for some form of devastation for years. I've got all the comforts of home. I've got a gas stove. I heat my food. I cook hot meals. I've got all the conveniences. I've got a battery-operated television to get the news, and I'm probably one of the only people in the neighborhood that's got a way to get some information.
Mm-hmm.
When police officers or have relatives that are in New Orleans and they're from devastated areas and they're passing out the little things, when you don't have nothing except a spare shirt and you give up the spare shirt to somebody because they didn't have a shirt, that's the heroes or the citizens of the Gulf Coast. We're talking about an area the size of Kansas, people. These are your American citizens. These are your fellow brothers. We don't need troops from other countries. We do need help from other countries in the form of their technology, of equipment that they have that we don't have, or that's being prevented to be sent to New Orleans. It hurts me to see, I just want to break down and cry when I hear of aid being denied by some government. Well, we're taking care of it. Send us money. We don't need 8 truckloads of food and supplies. Send us money. We don't need more news conferences. We don't need somebody tying up an airport where evacuations are going on for 3 hours so the President of the United States can fly in. If he can't fly into the airport and let everything else go on, then he's an evil man. I'm upset.
I know. I think you have every right to be.
Worst,
let me get you to hang on, okay? Let me get you to hang on, Drew. Quick break, folks. We'll come back and we'll chat some more through. And then if you don't know what he's talking about, we've got the news right here. We'll get into it. Stay with us. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you with us here today, as always. Friday morning. Is there anything new under the sun? Probably not, but maybe not. But maybe there are developments you haven't heard of yet. Again, folks, things that we are seeing, things that we've expected for a while, things that we've talked about for a while, they're all coming to pass. It's not surprising. It shouldn't be. But some people are going to be surprised by it, and it is interesting to see these things develop. Anyway, in my opinion, the most credible information is things that come from the people on the streets, be they reporters or eyewitness accounts or whatnot. But our caller here, Drew, from Little Rock, has been there several times this week alone. Drew, welcome back. Excuse me, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you, when you're going back down, you know, let me know what needs to be done. I can scramble quite a bit of resources even at the last minute if you're going down there.
Well, there's some of us that have personal friends that have planes, and we have friends in South Louisiana and South Mississippi, and we're accumulating stuff. We're willing to take it down. These guys are paying for their fuel out of their own pockets. Of course, they don't. I mean, they're not asking for anything. They don't want anything from anybody because they have their own businesses. They make good money, and the money they make is selling foodstuffs household things to people that build homes, and they're looking for the future of the area of the Gulf Coast is going to rebuild. I don't care what people say. This area is going to be rebuilt. I want to know what the biggest problem is in New Orleans. Why is New Orleans being fingered out? We know that underneath New Orleans, in especially the poor section, there is a tidal pool of oil that has never been touched. But my problem here is we've got oil wells in the Gulf that the platforms drill the well, or maybe 10 or 12 wells, and then they turn around and they cap them. They cap them. So what's the big deal here? You know, New Orleans is our most strategic port in America, and yet people are coming to the aid, and nobody's paying attention. I'm upset. Police officers are upset. And the biggest thing now is I turn on an idiot box and I see troops coming in from Mexico. Troops, not doctors, not nurses, troops, armed. Oh, they say that, oh, well, this is just
It's just the first convoy, but they're coming through Laredo, and we're not talking about a single convoy. We're talking about several. And the news media girl sits there and grins. Okay, well, when did Frank first bring out the fact that we would open our doors to foreign troops with guns? When you said it a year ago? Something was going to happen. We are one major catastrophe from anarchy in the United States.
That is
one
the damn
truth. One hurricane hit that would wipe out two or three cities in Florida. One earthquake to hit California or Alaska.
Or the New Madrid, for that matter.
Or the New Madrid fault that would devastate the central part of the United States. We have a president that's playing golf, and he offers $51 billion to help the people in the Gulf Coast when it would have taken only $700 million to do a complete rebuild of the levee system in New Orleans. When the people of the parish of Louisiana, up and down, we're not talking about Jefferson Parish, talking about Plaquemines Parish.
Yeah, but again, I mean, if they're detonating the levees, it doesn't matter how much money is thrown into it.
So, correct. When they're detonating and blowing up the levees, it doesn't make any difference. But they didn't give the money because they were planning to do it. They were planning to blow up the levee. My problem is Mr. Broussard is one of the presidents in South Louisiana for his parish, and he is the only one that's screaming bloody murder. But the police officers in the outbounding, I don't know what's wrong with these police officers in New Orleans, where they're getting off on going into people's homes because Louisiana statute code prevents them to do that. I don't care what the mayor says. The mayor is an elected official, but when the people of the parish, of the city, stand up against the malfeasance of office or an illegal order. In Louisiana, we have a code that gives us the authority to protect our home, our land, and our dwelling from any intrusion of any kind. That is what the statute says. Any kind. That includes police officers from a city. You cannot, in Louisiana, mandate forcibly remove someone from their home who is self-sufficient for any reason at any time. What is the problem here?
Yeah. Good questions, one and all. Again, I think that what they're going to do is, just like everything else, we've talked about this extensively, Drew. You get it. Some people out there get it. Some people have not really understood the broad brush by which we are seeing the destruction of the United States painted out there on this landscape. But what we've got here is one event which can, and looks like it will, it is, serving as the catalyst for every single scenario we've talked about. And one of the things we've tried to do on this show, as you know, is point out and highlight the obvious interconnectedness of various issues. You know, you look at something like control. People would say, oh, well, you know, concentration camps that FEMA has, or concentration camps that the UN's going to have, or whatnot. And we say, well, let's look at it from this point of view. What are the different ways they can do that? Well, martial law is one way. FEMA can do the camps. The old military bases can be used. The CDC can have quarantine zones. Work camps for a post-economically collapsed society. Well, guess what? Every one of those things is being implemented. Every single one. We looked at it from 7 or 8 different scenarios. All of them are being worked on as we speak. Now, you look at the mental health initiatives that are being out there. We talked about forced vaccinations in addition to forced medication for people who are deemed to be mentally divergent, people who think that, the election was fixed in 2004, those crazy people, you know. And, what different methodologies do you have for delivering this medication? Well, one of those is the medicine chip, which, you know, is injected into you and then dispenses your medication however it's programmed to do so. God forbid it not, accidentally release all the medication at once and actually kill you. But, this way they can keep you perpetually medicated and you can be microchipped at the same time. Well, guess what? Now, all of a sudden, the same types of scenarios we've seen with Gulf War syndrome and all that stuff, all the studies came out saying that more than 50% of Americans will experience mental illness in their lifetime, mostly being from depression. Well, guess what? Well, they've facilitated and they've exacerbated those conditions down in New Orleans and some of the surrounding areas. So now they can go in there and say, hey, look, this is a health crisis. Not only is the CDC talking about how horrible the water is, but these people are suffering from shock. They don't understand what's going on. We have to get them out of there for their own good. Every single thing we speculated on, it's just confirmation, Drew. From here on out, from here until the end of the damn world, it's going to be I told you so's, I think.
You got it. We've got people in Hammond, Louisiana. We got people in Bogard, Louisiana, in Bogalusa. We got people in Plaquemines Parish that have got colloidal silver, oxalate acid, tons of water and food that are self-sufficient. It's like going camping, only the camping is being done in their home, and the only thing they need is to get the energy to turn on the electricity again. Now, we've got a big-time problem all through the southern states that have been hit here, Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. The rebuilding has already started in southern Mississippi in massive droves, but yet the police officer is saying, where's all these trailers that FEMA says they've got parked up at different locations, strategic locations around the United States? Now, my problem here is, Frank, you've been sounding the warning for over a year, and people aren't paying attention. I'm sounding the warning to the listeners today. Get prepared. The emergency murderer agency is coming to your door soon. And they're going to, you better know what your rights and your laws are, and you better be prepared to border yourself up in your own home, but also be prepared for what they will do to you. Get right with your maker. I fear the wrath. I fear what's about to happen. America is under attack, and this little socialist thing that's going on in South Louisiana, this social experiment, is what they're about to do in other parts of this country. They're just waiting for one more catastrophe, i.e. Earthquake in California or New Madrid Fault. Mm-hmm. Tornadoes in areas like Wisconsin that have never seen tornadoes like they have this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. People have had people have been mundane to the point that, well, we've got tornadoes, but stop and think about it. We've had a bunch of tornadoes this year in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, that never had any, you know, maybe one or two every once in a while, but not five or six or seven. Most of the tornadoes that are normally occur are in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. We've got a problem out there, people, and the government's not doing it. The people are the ones doing it. But we need to wake up and stand up and say, call our congressman, network with our friends, and say, this is wrong. Put a stop to it. Ron Paul, where are you at? You need to be the governor of Texas. You could have put a stop to this invasion of Mexican troops by simply saying, we don't mind your doctors coming, we don't mind your nurses coming, mm-hmm. but you don't need to send troops to protect them, because we don't have a massive riot of people. People are standing in line to get medical aid, very calmly waiting 3 and 4 and 5 hours to get medical help.
I agree.
The real truth.
I agree, and I'm glad you brought it up. I think Ron Paul has gotten off easy. Because he talks well. Because
he doesn't walk with a flip.
Well, I ain't seeing him walking. That's all I can say. Is that we're seeing every time somebody from Texas is like, I can't believe this is happening, I'm going to say, well, look at it. Look at who you've given a free pass to.
I was talking to a grocery store owner, private grocery store owner yesterday, and he told me that he did not know that the Port of New Orleans brought 60% of his vegetables. Foreign vegetables like bananas and mangoes, etc., and a lot of his other grain system, you know, grains that came from around the world came through that port. He didn't know that until he saw it on a CNN program. These are things that most Americans don't know, and most Americans don't realize that 90% of their food comes to the store via trucks.
Yeah.
And you had a listener before me that said something about the truckers.
Yes.
Only being allowed 50 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact, because when we flew back in here yesterday, I stopped by one of the truck stops, and I saw a truck leave one truck stop and go across the road to another truck stop. And I thought that was a little funny, because I actually saw the trucker put the nozzle back from his truck over while I'm sitting there getting some gas.
And then he goes in and pays his fuel bill, or he paid it with a credit with a credit card at the pump. And the next thing I know, I see him go across the street to another pump. So I went in and I asked the lady. I says, "Hey, can I ask you a question? You know, well, how much is diesel?" And she gives me this, you know, price, $2.85. And I said, "Why? How much are the truckers allowed to buy?" And she says, "We have a limit of 50 gallons." 50 gallons. A truck normally gets about 8 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
That allows him to go, you know, 8 miles a gallon, 50 miles, four, that's 400 miles. Most trucks go from coast to coast. That's a little
right.
bit more than 400 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
a lot of stuff.
And if that 50 gallons is also for his reefer unit.
Well, not to mention, and you're absolutely right about that. Here's the other point, and you know this as well as I do, Drew, and probably a lot of people know it better than I do, but a lot of the trucking industry, you see a lot of substance abuse, you know, different things that they use to stay awake so they can make these drives as quickly as possible because they get bonuses. They get extra cash incentives if they get their delivery, you know, taken care of ahead of time. Now, go ahead and watch how many problems we're going to have and how many truckers are just going to call it quits altogether because they have to stop every, you know, however many miles, 400 miles you said, because they're completely running on fumes because they can only get 50 gallons at a time.
You got it.
I mean,
I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for the limitation of the fuel for the truckers, but we've got a major problem in America right now, and people need to know what the truth is, and they need to be standing up. When a police officer that's 6'5", weighs 300 pounds, looks at me with tears in his eyes and says, "Thank you, because I gave him a Coke, a icy Coke." I mean, there's a problem here, Frank.
I know.
There's a big-time problem. And people say, "Well, Drew, you're going back and forth. Help. I don't help me. I mean, help these people. And how do you help these people? Get mad and get on the phone. And yeah, you may think, "Well, what am I going to do? Call my congressman? Call my senator?" Yes, do that. Call your local people. Let's start. Hey, take America back. We don't, you know, start raising the blue blazes out there, because we've got people in America that want to help, but they're told not to because some jerk in Washington, D.C. says we've got it well in hand. Well, what's this well in hand when a woman can cook her own food, take care of herself, because she looks at it like, "Well, it's just like camping in the woods, only I'm camping out in my house. If they turn the electricity on, I could find out what the news reporters are saying. But I'm able to get it on the radio." This isn't a racial problem in America. This is a problem against freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly speaking, Radio, you've done a fantastic job getting it out there. James, wherever you are, God bless you for putting all that stuff on the website. I'm getting all the information I possibly can. I printed out 65 pages of information and handed it to the police officers yesterday, and they couldn't believe what they were reading just from what I was giving them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have radio. They don't have communications. They're using CBs to communicate because that's the only thing that's not being disrupted.
Yeah. Yeah, they're blaming it on a solar flare.
All right, I got to get out of here. I'm about to lose it. You take care of yourself. God bless you, and God bless all those people out there that are listening. Let's get the truth out. Network.
Well said, brother.
Bye-bye.
God bless you as well. Keep it together, and there you have it, folks. Eyewitness accounts. They're raw. Uncensored, unfiltered, and unpalatable for some of you out there, I'm sure. You don't want to hear stuff like that. Disturbs your comfort zone, doesn't it? Well, get ready to be further disturbed. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Silver have been a source of true wealth.
I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back to the show. Almost at the end of the second hour here, and quite a bit of stuff going on. Obviously, it's a Friday. These things happen. Let me throw some news at you real quick. This one from the Times-Picayune yesterday. As they did Wednesday, armed military and police pounded on doors and served notice that the last of an estimated 10,000 inhabitants now have to leave the wrecked city that 2 weeks ago contained 480,000 souls. Some of those they encountered were tired, beaten, and ready to come out. Many more, apparently, were self-selected survivalists. determined not to let go of what was certain in their lives in exchange for so much uncertainty ahead. Said a defiant Robert Thomas, quote, I got my own place, in regards to leaving the city. He said, quote, where the hell am I going to be after that, end quote. According to a man calling himself Chief Al, sitting on a stoop, quote, they're trying to get this neighborhood for the rich people, end quote. They keep mentioning the eccentricity of these people who are left behind, indicating mental instability. And watch for it, folks. We're batting 10,000 these days. That's going to be happening soon. Says there are no reports yet of what police and military authorities have promised since midweek, evacuation by force. Associated Press today, authorities said their sweep of the deluged city for the last voluntary evacuees is nearly complete, with officers ready to carry out the mayor's order to forcibly remove the thousands who remain in their homes. Again, folks, Sunday would be a great day for that. September 11th anniversary, no one will be paying attention. Police Chief Eddie Compass said officers would use the, quote, minimum amount of force, end quote, necessary to persuade those who remain to evacuate. Although no one was forcibly removed Thursday, some residents said they felt under extreme pressure, said Sheila DeFerris, who said she was told she had 15 minutes to pack before she and her husband were evacuated. She said, quote, they were all insisting I had to leave my home. The implication was there with their plastic handcuffs on their belt. Who wants to go out like that, end quote. As searches continued for the living amid a grim task of retrieving corpses intensified under the broiling sun, officials raised the death toll in Louisiana to 118 Thursday, although New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin has said up to 10,000 could be dead in that city alone. State officials have ordered 25,000 body bags. Decaying corpses in the floodwaters could pose problems for engineers who are desperately trying to pump the city dry. With 37 of the 174 pumps in New Orleans area working and 17 portable pumps in place, Thursday officials said the mammoth undertaking could be complicated by corpses clogging the pumps. Nice. WashingtonPost.com this morning. The breakdown of local and state agencies that tried to respond to Hurricane Katrina spurred fresh debate about whether disasters of such magnitude ought to be turned over to the U.S. military and other federal authorities to manage at the outset. Rumsfeld and other senior administration officials have resisted entering a public discussion of alternative approaches, insisting that the focus for now is to stand on cleaning up after Katrina. Military forces remain constrained from domestic law enforcement role by the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. Although the Pentagon has committed more than 8,000 active duty Army and Marine troops and about 10,000 sailors, it is made clear that these forces will not perform police functions. Sounds like they are to me. National Guard troops, now numbering more than 46,000, constitute a far larger share of the military presence in the disaster area. They bring two main advantages. They possess various skills needed in relief work, and guard units, when operating under the command of state governors, are not limited by Posse Comitatus. Any move to assign greater responsibility to the Pentagon for domestic emergency management is likely to face resistance, particularly since the armed forces are already strained by the conflict in Iraq. Commanders remain sensitive to the notion of U.S. troops becoming an occupying force in their own country. Well, how do you solve that problem? Foreign troops. Already said it. Saying it for years. Nobody should be surprised. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we...
Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Friday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome to the big show. It is Friday, September 9th, 2005, 8 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, and quite a bit going on. Obviously, we're in the middle of a brief news segment. We're talking about the forced evacuations that will be started soon in New Orleans, as we said. According to the Associated Press this morning, the voluntary sweep is almost complete, meaning that the forcible evacuations of people left behind there in New Orleans, people who don't want to leave, that will begin soon. This one from the New York Times today. As criticism of the response to Hurricane Katrina has mounted, one of the most pointed questions has been why more troops were not available more quickly to restore order and offer aid. Interviews with officials in Washington and Louisiana showed that as the situation grew worse, they were wrangling with questions of federal/state authority, weighing the realities of military logistics, and perhaps talking past each other in the crisis. To seize control of the mission, Mr. Bush would have had to invoke the Insurrection Act, which allows the president in times of unrest to command active duty forces into the states to perform law enforcement duties. While combat troops can conduct relief missions without the legal authority of the Insurrection Act, Pentagon and military officials say no active duty force could have been sent into the chaos of New Orleans on Wednesday or Thursday without confronting law and order challenges. They're saying, hey, look, it's going to come up. It better get addressed. Let me tell you, law enforcement actions will be what forcible evacuations are going to be. Now, this one is really intriguing. This is from the New York Times this morning. 10 days ago, the water rose to the front steps of their house. 4 days ago, it began falling, but only now is the city demanding that Richie Kay and Emily Harris get out. They cannot understand why. They live on high ground in the Bywater neighborhood, and their house has escaped structural damage. They're healthy and have enough food and water to last almost a year. They have a dog to protect them, a car full of gasoline, should they need to leave quickly, and a canoe for a last resort. They said they used that canoe in the last week to rescue over 100 people. Mr. Kay said, quote, we're not the people they need to be taking out. We're the people they need to be coordinating with, end quote. Scattered throughout the dry neighborhood of New Orleans are people like Mr. Kay and Miss Harris. They are defying Mayor Nagin's orders to leave, contending that he will violate their constitutional rights if he forces them out of the homes that they own or rent. Said Kenneth Charles Kindler, who is living with four other men on Marius Street, which is covered with almost 4 feet of water last week but is now dry. He's saying, quote, we have food, we have water, we have antibiotics. We're more or less watching the area for looters, end quote. To reduce the risk of violent confrontation, the police began confiscating firearms on Thursday, even those legally owned. Not just the looters who, remember, of course, they raided a Walmart and stole a bunch of guns. No, now just any firearms. They do not want an armed population to resist their forcible evacuation. You know, how many times have we talked about that? Some holdouts seem intent on keeping alive the distinct and wild spirit of this city. In the French Quarter, Addie Hall and Zachary Bowen found an unusual way to make sure that police officers regularly patrolled their house. Miss Hall, age 28, a bartender, flashed her breasts at the police vehicles that passed by, ensuring a regular flow of traffic. See, they're going to say, obviously, this chick is crazy. We'll evacuate her last because she gives us a free show, but obviously, she's crazy. On Thursday morning on St. Claude Avenue, a commercial strip in Bywater, east of downtown, about 12 people congregated inside and in front of Cajun's Pub, drinking and smoking. Said Kenny Dobbs, who celebrated his 35th birthday at the bar after the flood. He says, quote, New Orleans has been my home for 20 years. I've been on my own since I was 14. End quote. Like other people, Mr. Dobbs said he believed the city had exaggerated the health risks of staying as a scare tactic. The city simply wants to force people out so that its reconstruction will go more smoothly, he said. He asked, quote, why do you think they're evacuating people? So they don't have as much to deal with. That's right. Opposition. A couple more sentences here to read, and then we'll get to our guest today, Lee Crox, joining us. Stay with us, my friends. More Frankly Speaking Radio when we return after this. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Back to the story here. Again, this comes from the New York Times this morning. In general, residents say the active duty soldiers and National Guard troops have treated them well. Local police officers, many of them working for almost 2 weeks straight and having lost families or possessions, have been much more aggressive, said Mr. Dobbs. Two New Orleans police officers stole $50 and a bottle of whiskey from him last week after finding him on the street after dark, he said. With police officers and federal law enforcement agents ratcheting up the pressure on residents to leave, the holdouts worry that it's just a matter of time before they're forced out. Miss Harris said she did not want to leave, saying, quote, I haven't even run out of weed yet, end quote. By Thursday afternoon, Cajun's Pub had closed, and the vehicles previously parked outside were all gone. There was no indication whether Mr. Dobbs and the other people who had been drinking and joking 6 hours earlier had been evacuated or simply disappeared into the city. Well, that's nice. Let's look at what we've covered here in this slew of very, very lightly read 5 stories. I can't read the whole thing to you of every single one. There, some of them are 3, 4, 5, 6 pages long. So the forcible evacuations supposedly have not started yet. And that was as of yesterday. And yet today, on television, I've seen video of an elderly woman being tackled. She had a gun. She was tackled. She was disarmed. She was let out for her own good, quote-unquote. She's in shell shock, they're saying. It's something that needs to happen. Then the cops say, hey, look, today, Associated Press, we've almost completed our voluntary sweep of all the people who want to leave. And that will be soon moving in to get people out for their own good. Then you talk about troops should be used in major disaster relief efforts. That is coming about as a result of all the finger-pointing. This person's wrong. This person failed. This person did that. And, you know, again, go ahead. If you want to call and complain to your politicians, all you're doing is perpetuating what they want you to do, which is complaining, so that way they can say, hey, we'll turn it over to the military. Or, hey, we'll turn it over to someone's military, maybe not ours. Then we got this other one, too, talking about the Insurrection Act, Posse Comitatus, and then this one. Holdouts on dry ground say, why leave now? They talk about the crazy people in the quarter, the eccentric people who try to keep the spirit and the wildness of the city alive, people flashing the cops, people with strange names who are spouting weird philosophies. And yet the people on the ground know one thing. They know that they're trying to get people out. The Cajun's Pub, you got some guys down there saying, hey, look, we know they're trying to get us out because they want to make this smooth. They don't want people down here to complain. They don't want people to get... They did some interviews. 6 hours later, no trace of those people. All their cars were gone. The people themselves were gone. No idea what happened. They're all gone. You got a gal talking about, yeah, I can't leave my weed. Obviously, she's crazy. Obviously, this traumatic experience has changed her thought process. This guy, he's out there at that Cajun pub talking about the police, saying the police are being harsh. The police have obviously lost everything, and they're taking out on the people. And... you know, he's telling eyewitness accounts, yeah, this is what they did to me. They beat me up the last week, and they took some money and some whiskey from me. And then, again, New York Times shows back up. All those people have disappeared. Wonder what happened. See, in this sort of scenario, folks, you got a lot of problems. Keep in mind one thing. By state law in Louisiana, the coroner has to determine a cause of death. That doesn't mean they're going to be doing investigations. This is a crazy, crazy area to be in right now. I'm not saying that people should evacuate. They should be able to, if the only person they're harming is themselves by living in this quote-unquote toxic gumbo, then so be it. Why should they have to leave? Why are they taking guns away from people who legally have them? Why are they forcibly evacuating or removing people from their own privately owned property? Look, this is no surprise. We all know about this. We knew it was coming. All right? So that having been said, we'll take a quick phone call, and then we'll take our guest, who's been waiting patiently. Jeff in Massachusetts, please go ahead.
Yes. Now, as far as New Orleans is concerned, Drew pointed out some very potent things, and one of those things is the female survivalist that the police want to get out of her house. I mean, look, if the woman's got all her materials in the house, leave her alone. It's just that simple.
Well, like I said, we did that in all the stories. But see, what you got to keep in mind here is when you think survivalists, what do you think? Do you think of the TV show Survivor? No. When you think of survivalists, you think of what? You think of, like, militia-type groups. And the militia groups, remember, these people are more a danger to American society than Al-Qaeda. That's what the official line is.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And this gets back into the propaganda. The whole propaganda is... Down south, there's nothing but a bunch of white men named Chuck with coonskin hats, big beards, double-barrel shotgun, enough goods to last the Armageddon. These are very unstable people. They need to be medicated. They need to be taken to internment camps.
Well, hey, man, wait till wintertime, and they start going up north and going after you guys.
I know. That's scary because... We had a harsh winter last year, and you know what? I came out of work one day, and I was beyond knee deep in snow as I was getting off the train, and it was rough. And I have equipment. I have winter equipment that would blow your socks off, and so I'm prepared to the degree that I need to be.
Good.
But anyways, as far as what's going on in this country, that's sick. The Mexican military coming over our border. Is this going to be a trend of things to come? This is a Trojan horse.
Well, I mean, look at it. They're all talking about this situation, that situation, all these different laws that, well, Bush has to abolish Posse Comitatus in order to have the troops use in law enforcement capacity, even though that's exactly what they're doing. You've got... I think we lost Jeff.
No, I'm here.
Okay. I think... you've got, they're talking about the Insurrection Act and whatnot. What's the greatest and most easiest way to do a loophole for something like that, and that's to bring in foreign troops? We've always talked about that.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
And you know what the funny thing is? Before I get off the phone, the fact of the matter is, foreign troops is going to be the tool that's going to be utilized to go through every single house and get the people out. I mean, look, if you're surrounded by 10 snarling, infected foreign people... Hello, I'm on the phone. Yeah, if you're surrounded by 10 people from a foreign country,
yes,
you're either going to confront them or you're going to have to leave, pointing AK-47s at you.
That's exactly right.
It's just that simple. You are outnumbered why the... And these foreign troops hate our guts. I mean...
Well, sure they do.
I mean, think about it for a minute. Do you realize how many numbers of Chinese people there are around the world and how many numbers of people from these third world countries that would love to join the UN to conquer America?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is just simple math here.
Look, the simple... Yeah, you're exactly right. But the best way to scale it on down is people... The haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots having a chance to get equal ground. So in this time when we get stories of the poverty and stories of the tragedies all coming out of New Orleans, we're supposed to identify now the third world countries and say, hey, look, they're just trying to do their part, too. They really care. They can understand poverty. They can understand impoverished areas of town. They want to help out. So when these doctors, these foreign doctors with their armed guard, troops, when these doctors go into these little houses, and of course they're not speaking English, and they're going in there to some house where this person is like, what the hell are you doing in my house? It's private property. They pull out a gun, and then the foreign troop who's there shoots that person.
Exactly.
And it's self-defense.
Exactly. And Drew is absolutely right. This is not about race. It's about freedom. And all this stuff about racism just falls into line with the communist plan.
I know.
You know?
To make you more tolerant because you want to... Look, if there's all these charges of racism, the natural inclination for people is to go over the top. Like, the thing that always irks me is whenever somebody is called a racist, they're like, hey, man, I got a friend who's a black guy. It's like, yeah, what does that mean? And why do you feel the need to identify who you know, who you're friends with? Big deal. Congratulations. You got a friend who's black.
Exactly.
But the point is that people have that natural inclination to overcompensate. So you start saying racism, racism, racism in New Orleans. Well, you know, you're going to say, well, I'm not a racist. In fact, look how non-racist I am. I'm welcoming a foreign troop who has a different skin color than I am. I'm welcoming them in because I'm not. Look how non-racist I am.
But you see, as far as Mexicans is concerned, they have been raised with a different philosophy of socialism. I mean... Forget about race. I mean, if you were to have a Mexican be raised in a capitalist home, he will reflect those values. Well, Mexico is a socialist country. They're raised with socialist values. It's never has been about race. It's class, economics, and conditioning, and we are about to be melded into the communist Borg. And I'm afraid that people up in the Northeast will just give up their rights. There won't be any resistance up in the Northeast.
No, you guys are too soft up there.
I know.
You need some coonskin and caps and some double barrel shotguns. That's what you need.
You're right. And a buck knife to boot. And on that happy note, I'll let you go.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call. We love Jeff. Yeah, folks, this is what it's come down to. Again, watch for this. Watch for the outrage. I'm outraged. Why are you outraged? Are you surprised by this? We told you for years that this was going to happen. What's with all the outrage? I'm so mad. You should have been mad before when you could have done something about it. Too late now, pal. No point in getting mad now. Not going to do any good. Look, we told you this is all... The people that try to facilitate these things... our master, spin artists, and anything that comes down, any natural disaster, whatever the case may be, it can be spun to facilitate an agenda. And what we're seeing is a really, really strange time. And coming into the weekend with September 11th, it's bad stuff too. But you know what, folks? There's always opportunities to look on the bright side of things and have hope and have joy. And we'll do that with our guests when we come back. Stay with us. Public Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. A lot of stuff going on today, my friends. As I said, from here on out, I'm making a prediction. You can call me on it. It will be a time, starting now, of I told you so's. Nothing new under the sun. Now, just because something's not new, doesn't mean that you've never heard of it before. There are lots of things you probably don't know about. Some of it you probably do. I don't know. But, you know, for 10 days straight now, we've been talking about Hurricane Katrina, its impact, its relevance, its interconnectedness to all the things that we've talked about on this show for years and years and years. And one of the things that I've mentioned repeatedly, self-reliance. It is vital, folks, for you to get yourself out of the system. I'm not saying go and get your Social Security number revoked. I'm not saying go and get papers so you don't have to have a driver's license. Who cares? Okay? I'm talking about stuff that comes down to moral and ethical issues. You could even say biblical issues. Now, you could make a case for all those things being biblical as well. I don't know. Look, you know, that's not a fight that I'm willing to have right now. I know there are people who are doing it. There are people who will do it much better than I ever could. But I think there are bigger fish to fry, and that's what I'm after here. Now, in the realm of self-reliance, the biggest thing, and we're seeing it every single day, folks, out of New Orleans and the surrounding areas, health. They're talking about it. I told you, I said, watch for the mosquito stories. Guess what? They're all over the place. Mosquitoes everywhere. Encephalitis. E. coli. People are in a really, really bad way down there. And one of the things they're talking about is we need food, we need water. Well, on page 131, he has this in here. Frequency generators have been around for a while. And he goes on to say, blah, 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 blah. These machines absolutely 100% allow the body to virtually cure all diseases. Right? These machines absolutely 100% allow the body to virtually cure all diseases. That's how important my guess is. Never mind the fact of his generosity, his unprecedented generosity. Lee Crock's energy cleaners sell for half or less than comparable units out there. Now, in addition to that, aside from the fact that he scaled it down to enough where you know, it's more affordable than any other option out there, aside from that, here's the Energy Lodge. Absolutely free for you to go and stay there at any time. But how much longer is that going to go on? We've got 240, I think, 1,000 refugees from Louisiana in Texas alone. 9,000 here. 50,000 in Georgia. They're everywhere. What happens if there's a natural disaster up north? What happens if there's a blizzard or something like that, and people just lose power and they start dying right and left? And then Lee Crock, I heard this guy on the radio. He's got space. Let's go ahead and move some evacuees into the Energy Lodge. Well, guess what, folks? Your free opportunity to go up there and experience the health benefits for yourself is over. You have pissed away the opportunity because you procrastinated. Now, I'm not saying that applies to everyone. Certainly not all of you have the means financially to go to Ohio. Maybe you live very far from Ohio. I don't know. But the point is it's if there's ever a time when someone says, hey, if you want to come and stay with me, it doesn't cost you anything. Stay as long as you want. Bring your food. You know? If there's ever a time when that offer's generosity is glaringly apparent, it is now. Speaking of generosity, Lee Crock has given away 3 machines on this program. Today, we're going to give away a 4th. It is a wonderful and amazing opportunity, and we certainly appreciate his time, his generosity, his involvement with the show and with the website, his support that he offers to us. It's astounding to me, and it's inspirational to me. Here's a guy who's in it for the right reasons to help you guys out. Folks, take advantage of these opportunities. Take advantage of this knowledge before you can't anymore. Lee's website is www.edkuniversity.com. On our website, we have a button bar, a little banner you can click on. It'll take you right to his website. Read it. Tell other people about the site. Now, on the banner, 2 phone numbers for Lee. His work number at the Energy Lodge. And his home number. He just wants to help you. Let him help you. When we come back, we'll talk to Lee Crock, and we'll talk about the energy cleaners. We'll talk about a lot of things. So stay with us, my friends. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Our website is always franklyspeakingradio.com, and the phone number is 1-800-313-9443. Use that at any point. Our guest today, as I said, a wonderful, wonderful guy. We appreciate his time and his generosity giving away these machines. Lee Crock, welcome to the program, sir.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. It's certainly a crazy time.
Frank Whalen, glad to have you with us here today. I'm glad to be able to be here before, the right of free speech has gone the way of the dinosaur. Because there are great things out there. And these things are always kept from people's ears and eyes with a regular sort of pattern of censorship and whatnot. They do not want us out here saying these things. And I have a feeling that we've got very little time left, folks. Things are happening so quickly. But as I said, I've told you this before. Is this any surprise? Shouldn't be. It's time now to act, folks, to go ahead and get involved. We have some breaking news. Drew, our news hound, go ahead, Drew from Little Rock.
Sir, Mr. Bush has now created a new office, Undersecretary of State of the State Department. And Catherine Hughes has been given the position. She just took the oath of office, and I'm calling this Undersecretary of State nothing more than a propaganda minister.
Yes, Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy to combat, as Bush had just said, the anti-government propaganda.
Yes, and now in chiming in with this is nothing more than an attack on the news medias like CNN and MSNBC, who are bringing forth the massive amount of truth in capital letters, people, T-R-U-T-H, truth, that the government failed the American people, and this doesn't just stop from the president. It goes all the way down to the mayor. But I'm always brought to mention Truman's greatest quote, "The buck stops here." And Mr. Bush, why isn't the buck stopping at your desk? It seems to me you keep creating new offices.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to salute Lee Cross.
Looks we got a new propaganda department now. Lee, welcome back. Karen from Florida, welcome back. You know, it's amazing stuff. When you get these stories out there, and then, Lee, you've already been, they've come after you for saying things like the C word, things like, cure and heal and whatnot. I mean, they don't want those words out there. They don't want people to know that there are things for themselves independent of independent of the medical industry.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Newspaper in the so-called mainstream press, there have been a number of news articles concerning this subject. News brief. The United States and other world powers should outlaw tampering with weather for use as a war weapon.